At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Lowe's has the Labor Day deals you need to give your home a new look. Buy one, get one free select interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Then, add the final touch with 2 for $8 on select 2.5 or 3-quart mums. Refresh your home and save big while doing it. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 9/3. Mums offer in-store only. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for details.
More less, more less, more less, more less. More less, more less. More less, more less, more less, more less. More less, more less. More less.
Come and get less with me. All the pints are bloody free. Have I told you I've got a high basic salary? Making money.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to episode 141 of the Rebiz Podcast. We've got another wonderful guest lined up for you. But before we get there, I'm sat next to one of the happiest men I've ever seen in my life. What, you're bouncing around?
We just need to take our clothes off to have a good time. Good time. We just need to take our clothes off to have a good time, good time. Na 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 na. Oh, na 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 na. Rig, I just love my chassis out there. I'm having a good time. Clothes.
You're having a great time, but you're
bouncing around. Na 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 na.
You're bouncing
around. Hey, hey, sorry, man.
I don't think I've ever seen you so energetic.
Oh,
so happy.
Man, it's great to be here. Happy podcast, mate. I hope this podcast finds you well and our listeners.
Well, our thousands of listeners, it does. I'm sure it really does.
Today just seems glorious, doesn't it? The weather's out. I was in the city earlier and I was just thinking, God, I am so lucky to be alive. The shape I'm in, the job I've got, life's good. Life is good. Good to see you, buddy.
But why are you good so happy? You, I mean, I know you get happy time to time, but this is ridiculous. This is another level. This is another plane.
You know, there's various things, you know. Love is a weird thing, mate.
What do you mean love is weird?
Love. Well, as I said last week, joined Bond Agency.
Yes, go on. So I completely forgot.
And, you know, one thing led to another.
Go on.
Went in, had my consultation.
Yeah.
The gals were great.
Yeah.
The gals were great. They really took on board what I was looking for. They were detailed. It was like a really productive business meeting, but it was to do with my love life.
Good. That must have been
which
enjoyable.
Is great. Yeah.
It was all about you.
Yeah.
Your favorite subject.
One of my favorite subjects. Yeah. That and Nick and Mendonon. Anyway, they came back and they delivered me a wonderful profile.
That's great.
Like I said, hey, love is one of those things, that feeling that, you know, fills up your body,
that
like a tap in the pub filling up a pint glass. I'm full to the brim, not with lash, but with love.
So what was she like? What was the date like?
Oh, I haven't met her yet. But I know I'm in love.
You know you're
in
love.
Yeah, yeah. I've looked at her Instagram profile, and aesthetically, she's there. Then I checked out LinkedIn, and career-wise and schooling-wise and background-wise, she's on point. So, put in June the 12th next year in your diary, because that's the date I plan to get married.
Wow. Okay. Well, guys, if you want to feel
Can I just say, you look great.
Well, thank you so much. Yeah. God, you are being nice. It's the first time I've heard you nice in 3 years. You really are in love.
I don't know. Just everything seems brighter. When I woke up this morning, I was walking through Clapham Common. I could just smell the flowers. And I don't know. It just feels like I'm so lucky to take every breath in, you know, to keep myself alive, to produce this chat. I'm just grateful, you know.
So when are you going on this date? Because Wimbledon would have been a great opportunity.
Yes. I did say, does she want to come to Wimbledon? But I did mention that I'm going with clients. So it would have been tricky. I want us to meet the first time. And it just to be about us, a union, our bodies and chat coming together.
Well, that's incredibly exciting. Well, we can't wait to hear how that goes next week.
I just need to take my clothes off.
Well, I should say, Archie.
Because I'm having a good time, good time.
Not everyone can be as successful as you in the city, but everyone can be as successful as you in the dating world now. Because all they have to do is sign up to Bond Dating Agency and their lives will be as happy as yours are.
Oh my God, there you go. We've advertised for an agency without really advertising.
Without realizing.
Oh, everything is just coming together seamlessly. The world just seems to be giving me so much stuff.
So all you guys have to do if you want to be as happy and successful as Archie in the dating world is click on the link in the bio, go through to the dating agency, leave your email, your name and your number, and they will give you a call and make sure that they can change your life forever, and you'll be as happy as this man alongside me. But Archie, I must say, I'm guessing another...
We just want to
come
use
on, we can't sing this whole
agency to have a good time. Good time.
Well, Archie, it was a wonderful weekend of live sport, which we're going to go through now, because I saw you in attendance at Wimbledon on Sunday, Centre Court. How good is that?
It was one word, phenomenal. Yeah. First time test running my white linen suit.
Macamba Spoke, shout out to those guys.
Big shout out to Macamba Spoke. They're my guys in the city. They do all my suits, and they've got some seriously good C.H.A.T. chat. Sure. I had Centre Court tickets.
Of course you did.
That I wouldn't go if I didn't.
No,
and,
of course not.
It was brilliant. My clients loved it. I mean, I drank my putty weight in pimps and champagne.
Well, talking about drinking, I saw you got in trouble with the BBC. They caught you popping a champagne during a point, which isn't allowed.
Yeah. And I did apologise, but unfortunately, one of my mottos in life is there's never not a good time to have a bottle of champagne. And could I wait 10 seconds? No. I was thirsty. My clients are thirsty. It's called good BD. Got a slap on the wrist, Clodagh. Then I said, look, here's my Instagram. Look. Nearly 87,000 followers.
Yeah.
They said, okay, so you're the equivalent of the people in the Royal Box.
Yeah.
I said, yeah. I said, do you want me to stand up and take a wave? They said, you're good. but I did anyway, but they didn't announce it, so it didn't really work.
Successful business deals? Obviously, you take two people out. Quite expensive day out.
It is expensive, but you've got to invest in your clients to reap the rewards. You know what? I show them a day they won't forget. And when you do that, you know you're going to get some business.
But did you actually get any business?
Well, you know, I followed up with a wonderful email Monday morning just saying, I'm sure you're feeling as dusty as I am. And they haven't responded yet.
Right.
But when they do, I'm pretty sure that email is coming back saying, let's do business.
Well, people who did do business, people you did motivate, you were successful with, were the England cricket team. They'd lost the first two Ashes tests. Yep. And then you said, emergency, SOS, I'm going to do one of my mixtapes.
I need sound effects here, sure. Clodagh, but basically the story goes, I said, we need to smash that emergency button because we need to put a halt to Australia's winning and get back on course. Smash! Delivered some banter, and now they've won.
Well, Archie, it's no fluke. I mean, over 90% of the team follow you. Your mixtapes never fail. And one man who's been there since the beginning, alongside Popey, is the wonderful Ben Duckett, fourth leading run scorer in this series, going from strength to strength. Wasn't in the England team 2 years ago when we interviewed him. Since then, got back in the ODI team, back in the World Cup team, won the World Cup, and then back in the Test team.
Yeah.
I mean, just genius what you've done for him.
You are welcome, BD.
Yeah.
When I say BD, I mean Ben Duckett. And yeah, we've had constant communication throughout the Ashes. I've been sort of a mentor in his corner. It is great to have him back on the pod, so we can find out what has been going on during this Ashes series, which has captured the nation. I tell you what, Flerdis, do you want to just give me a few throwdowns and sure. I'll give you a bit of banter back?
Sure. Benjamin Duckett, without a bucket this time, but he's looking absolutely wonderful.
Cap number two.
Shall I go and get it?
Yeah. Please.
It's not the same, really.
But be quick, because we've got a lot to get through. You're the hero of the world right now. Oh, this is a beautiful, beautiful room. Last time you were speaking to him, Archie, he was in a tiny little study.
Now he's got a five-bedroom house in Nottingham. To be fair, I could afford three of those.
I'm surprised he doesn't have your Clapham Falcon shirt up framed.
No, he's got his own shirt framed, a old Newcastle United shirt, an Australian rugby... Oh, no, then his own cricket shirt. He's got a lot of his own stuff put up there. I like that.
You imagine that's a bit like your house.
Yeah, I have a lot of my own shirts up around various things, but no, they're not sports shirts, work shirts, just when I've done significant deals.
Really? Yeah. Which you signed?
I've got like a number of Charles Tyrwhitt shirts in frames, and I'll be like, and underneath that's like my 50th cap at the Ned, and then underneath is just a business deal I've done.
Well, I should say...
BD, thank you so much for joining us. That is much better. That is how the world knows you right now, a man with a bucket hat.
He's looking wonderful.
Good to be here.
I mean, welcome back, your second cap, the Ashes is alive, you're fresh down from Leeds, back to Nottingham. How did you boys celebrate the victory up at Leeds? Because it looked like it was going to be a loose one.
Well, I'm getting a bit older now and it certainly hits me for a couple of days. We had quite a bit to drink after. It was good, to be fair. We had the family and friends on the pitch after. yeah, we were messing about there for a while and a bit of beer pong in the dressing room. And then a few drinks after that.
Yeah, I love beer pong. I like doing beer pong just before I head out into Clapham. There's nothing better than just three or four lads at your house, all just topless playing beer pong and just having like really good banter that sort of just G's you up for a big night. So, yeah. I'd put that down, yeah. Actually. See, when I go and watch the Oval and England win the Ashes, just make sure I get a pass of the beer pong. So. Okay,
cool. Yeah, we'll have to invite you in, see how good you are.
Yeah, I'm pretty handy. As you can imagine, anything I've turned my hand to, I'm successful at. It's the cross I bear.
We'll have to keep our tops on, though. Our rigs aren't as good as yours.
No. We'll get naked, especially when the Ashes, then it's getting loose in there. And I'll be distributing a few bum funnels around the changing room.
If we win the Ashes, we can play naked beer pong.
Okay. Oh, my God. Here we go. On the podcast.
Right here.
Ben, I should say, talking about being in the changing room celebrating, I'm guessing the lads in the change room pre-test were all listening to Archie's mixtape he did for you. We lost the first two Ashes. Archie then releases that mixtape on the morning of the third test. You guys win. Nine of you follow Archie. I think eight have been on the pod. Or, you know, surely the boys will listen to the mixtape.
Yeah, of course. My question is, which one person hasn't been on?
Brookie, I think. Was it Brookie?
Crawley, although I'm not sure I really want him on.
Well,
there.
It was Sibley, but he's obviously not in the team anymore. Yeah. You took his place, sadly. I saw him in a pub outside Clapham the other day crying to a pint. But that's a different story, Ben. You're now doing well. Sibbers is a bit upset.
Yeah, well, Sibbo's a good lad, isn't he? I just think he's a good player as well, isn't he? I think he scores a little bit slower than me at the top of the world. He's a proper opening batsman, unlike me.
He's an old-fashioned opening batsman. Quick one. Has the chat got a bit better since Popey's been injured? I mean, obviously, Archie was asking him to take the dog away, but...
Yeah, big time. You probably saw, didn't you, the other day? He was straight back to London, post on Instagram of him and his dog. So, nothing's changed.
I wrote to him. I DM'd him. I said, no, stop right now. I said, listen, you're injured. We get it. We don't want to see that dog. Get out there and enjoy yourself. Read it and said nothing to me. Next thing I know, he's following me on Threads. I'm like, what do you want, mate?
He ignored you, did he?
I don't think it's more ignoring. From the stories I hear, it's just more nervousness. I think we've just got to, as a nation, as the people listening to this podcast, the guys and gals in the England changing room, we just have to say once and for all, if Popey does it, make sure you DM him. No, just stop it there, Popey. Okay, we don't want to see that dog. We're not interested. We'll follow you because you're a sports star. We're not into pedigree chum.
No, we're not.
He's got his dog account as well, so I feel like he should just keep the dog post for that one. But you know what he's like.
I know. I just fear for him. I think he's going to be single for the rest of his life. I really do. I mean, who sets up a...
He's got a girlfriend now and he's happy. So I'm thinking, why is he posting a picture of his dog to try and get, you know, people sliding in and sympathy messages? You know, he's happy. His girlfriend's lovely, called Ella. I think it's got to stop.
Yeah, okay. can we put in the podcast just an announcement here? Just something pretty aggressive.
Go on, sir.
Well, I just want to say, will there be sound effects on this? Okay. Oliver Pope. Listen, you've had a phenomenal rise in your career since you've been coming on the podcast, but stop posting your fucking dog photos, okay? It is not good banter and it's very Putney. You've been warned, my friend. Otherwise, next time, I'm knocking on your door and I'm stealing your dog and taking him away.
Well, moving on from a controversial Pope man to another controversial figure. Obviously, now we've got the win. We believe we're going to win 3-2. We are going to win 3-2. But let's not forget, last test, you were incredible. The one before at Lords. You know, just amazing. Top scorer both innings. Now, I know a lot of the nation and the world have been on Alex Carey's back saying, what a dick, what he did to Bairstow. We'll get your reaction in a second. But Archie, you know Alex Carey well. And actually, he's a very charitable bloke.
Yeah, and it's a real tricky one. Obviously, I'm a big England cricket fan. Especially in the Ashes, but Carey is, you know, someone I've done a lot of charity work for his foundation, the MPF, and I've done a lot of talks with him. Really respect what he's done. For those who don't know the foundation, definitely go check it out. It's the Micropenis Foundation, and what he's doing out there for men around the world with micropenises, talking out when he's got that kind of massive status, you know, a sportsman to come out and say, "Hey, look, I've got a micropenis."
But you're an ambassador, aren't you?
Yeah, he came. I did a charity golf day, and we were showering together, and he said, "Hey, you'd be a great."
great guy to get in for the Micro Penis Foundation. So we've done a number of charity gigs. And so what I would say is, yeah, look, what he did is unsportingly, and you don't want to see that in any sporting environment.
Yep.
But there's a good guy behind that. And I just want to say, you know, go and check out the Micro Penis Foundation and the work he's done and, you know, we've done together. So it's a difficult
one. Give generously.
Please do give generously because it is something that it really does affect one in 100 men.
I don't know why I thought you were being serious at the start of that.
No, we're being deadly serious. No, deadly serious. When you see him, ask him. We've done some great golf days together.
Ben, let's get your reaction to that, though, because you were sat in the change room. You weren't pulling any punches at test. You were in the form of your life. You had a wonderful spat with Jonathan Agnew, which I love listening to on TMS. But what was your reaction to that in the change room? You must have been appalled.
Yeah, I missed it. I could just come out from the loo. And when it first happened, it's just one of those things that I don't know, when it first happens, you kind of like, has that really happened? It's just one of them, isn't it? Like, it's not against the law, but if that's how, you know, they want to win, then, you know, fair play. I think it actually shows how kind of afraid they are of us, you know, to go and do that, to go 2-0 up. If that's the way the Australians feel like they need to win the Ashes, then I think that kind of gives us a bit of a confidence boost.
I completely agree.
What is it like, BD, being in part of the Ashes? Because it certainly has captured the nation. Everyone's talking about it. And there does seem to be a bit of needle between you and the Australians, which has probably helped with the narrative. Is it as good as fun as it looks? Because you boys look like you're absolutely loving it.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously one of the biggest sporting things, you know, around in the world. And I think the thing that we haven't done is we've done no different to what we did all winter. You know, we're it's the funnest environment I've ever been a part of. Like, I said this after the last test, because obviously I'm still relatively new to the group. And I said how relaxed the environment is. Like, even going out to bat day four of the last test the other day, it didn't feel like I was going out to bat in, you know, the biggest game of my life, you know, with the Ashes series on the line, which is credit to the group that we've got. It's just a pretty special place to be. I just, probably naivety, but I didn't know how big it kind of was and how many people kind of watch it, because I've played over the winter and it kind of shows to me, you know, how little people kind of care about when you're going abroad and playing in these other conditions, you know, compared to an England series at home.
I was up at 5 a.m. watching.
Yeah, I mean, you're very strange about your cricket. I mean, I'll just speak on behalf of the nation. I don't watch any cricket unless it's the Ashes.
Well, that's
but
a shame.
I thoroughly enjoyed watching it in the office. And it's important for me, you know, Ben won't go into detail, but yeah, you know, I have been probably mentoring him. I think he looks at me in a way as like a big brother, a father figure. You know, when he did that unbelievable knock, just the simple message, look good, play good. And he just got the message. And that was it.
So
that
was enough said.
Look, it's not about me in many aspects, but, you know, I do feel like coming on this pod, it just turns things around.
Well, let's not forget, 2 years he came on, he wasn't England set up, he didn't really know what he was going to do, and he said to us, can you help us? We said, we're going to do our best. Within 2 years he's in the short format team, he's winning the World Cup, he's now winning the Ashes. It's just,
and
you're welcome,
let's not forget a beautiful, beautiful girlfriend.
You're overly obsessed with.
No, I just think it's just great. It's great to see. And, you know, moved into a 7-bedroom house. I mean, things are great. I mean, your stock is just like that. And don't forget to write him an invoice.
Yeah, of course.
Okay, we'll take 10%.
But do you feel like Archie's helped? Is it down to him more than you, Ben?
Yeah, big time.
Yeah.
Two things there, obviously. Yeah, I mean, in the last 2 years, a girlfriend's come into the picture, and obviously Archie. And I'm not sure which one's had more of an impact for me, but they've both been massively influential in the success I've had over the past couple of years.
Well, because Ben did at one point, when they started getting together, he said, look, can I have you up here living with us as well? Because I think it would help.
Three of
you. Yeah. And I just said, where is it? He said, Nottingham. I said, no, no can do, mate. No can do. He said, there's good lines into Clapham. I said, I don't care, mate. You know, my heart and my head are here. I said, I wish you the best of luck. If you need any tips, let me know. I don't want to go into detail, but a few tips.
You'd love to come and be at the bar in the house.
Though, oh, yes,
look
please.
At that. Yeah, you did actually message me about Moore Lash, which is coming back into stock, Ducky, so do not worry. Some will be sent up to you.
Yeah, so you know about Pope ignoring you. I sent Archie a message saying, yeah, it'd be nice to get some of the Moore Lash beers into the new house, and it was just completely ignored.
Mate, when you were playing Notts County, he didn't want to know about you. Now you're England. No, he's begging you to come on.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Here you go.
Let's move on to the cricket, Ben, because obviously you're saying most fun you've ever had. You're batting alongside Crawley. There was a wonderful stat coming out saying you're averaging 49.93 as an opening partnership, higher since Triscothic and Strousey. When Stokesy came on with Broadie, they both said Crawley was a very weird guy and had pretty shit chat. So do you ever get relieved out in the middle when that partnership is broken because you can have a tiny bit of respite from the chat in the middle?
Well, if that's coming from Broadie, I'm really not sure. I actually think you guys would enjoy Zach. He's witty. He's a clever guy, so he kind of knows what kind of banter he's using. Lives in Clapham. So Archie, you must, you know, that's
I know he lives in Clapham because I saw when he bought a house, I get all the stats of people coming into Clapham. But at that time, he wasn't really doing much in the sporting world. So I thought, nah, I'll leave him. But now he's sort of starting to really make his mark in England. Make sure I put diarise at lunch with him.
Yep.
I'll take him to number 32. We'll get a table on the top outside.
Okay.
I'm probably the only one that can get one of those.
But I mean, Ben, you guys are going incredibly well together, especially yourself. But obviously, that wonderful test at Lords you had, you falling, agonising short, a couple of runs of a test century, Ashes century, which has just been incredible. Had you done that century, and obviously you're going to do it from now on because we're going to make sure we've got it on film, we've got it on podcast, but were you going to do the Falcon celebration at Lords, or is that only going to go forward now? Popey was going to do it, but sadly...
I see Popey says he's going to do it, he won't do it.
But Popey would bottle it.
But Ben, you've got the you've got the confidence, you've got the, you know, charisma to do it, whereas Popey would be a bit shy, but... Can we get it on record, like we did with Seb? If you get a ton, you're going to do the Falcon celebration.
If I get an Ashes ton in the next couple of weeks, I will be over the moon and I'll do whatever. So yeah, I will. I'll have to have a look at the video and the celebration. And if I do get there,
we'll send you some videos.
Send him the video of Ollie Lawrence.
Commercial break.
Oh crap, boom. I love you all the time, see, you made me fucking horny. I just wanna be with you, please just get hitched. And then you be around me. Let's fall in love. Clapham is my sweet girl, damn she smells so minty. Rigby's is so peak, oh, freebies are a plenty. Oh, your mama hate me, Fribby got to get you. For all our loyal fans now, beer 52 that just come through. Click that link, my highness, and free beer. Will arrivers get it all up in your face with some free snacks in this place. I said, you've been scratching, you've been feeding. I'ma fix you, I'ma fuck you with some freebies all this evening. It's mine.
Listen up, Rick Biz listeners. We're giving you a free box of 8 award-winning beers and 2 free award-winning snacks. That's a lot of awards packed into a free box. So why don't you click on the link in the podcast notes, beer52.com/RickBiz, and claim your free box of beers and award-winning snacks today. You're welcome, my friends. You're welcome.
Archie was saying earlier that obviously lots of chat flying around between you and the Australians. Now, Marnus Labuschagne seems like the most annoying person ever to field at short leg. Just give us a perspective of what kind of chat the guys are delivering. Because they say David Warner's earning the team now for his chat. Is he a good sledger? What's the best sledging going around this series so far?
I feel like it's blown up a lot in the media. Like, this Australian team are seriously, seriously good. But honestly, when you walk out to bat, it's quite quiet. There's honestly, I can't think of one sledge I've had in 3 games. I mean, probably because when me and Zach walk out, there's about 4 men on the boundary, which is quite nice when we're going out to bat. But I don't know. I feel like Warner's now trying, because he's coming to the end of his career, I feel like he's trying to almost become mates with a lot of people. So he's been quite friendly to me. I had a chat with him the other day. Marnus is just... he's just got so much energy, you know. So I think when he is at short leg, a lot of us are just trying to get him out there by smacking it and getting him out of short leg. But honestly, they're quite a bunch of nice guys. They're just very good at cricket and not a lot of chat. I mean, a lot of the games have been so loud and you wouldn't even be able to hear them back at slips. They're stood about 30 metres away because of how quick the bowlers are bowling, but there's not been a lot going on. Ollie Robb obviously got stuck into Khawaja, didn't he?
The rig.
And then got told off. I feel like in sport now, if you say stuff, it's just the stump mic picks up on it and you get told off.
You get destroyed like Kenisa Roberta.
Yeah. Is it? Are you enjoying playing in that in that kind of atmosphere? Because it looks like that. I mean, that's where when the Ned is busy and vibrant, that is when I'm doing some of my best deals. And I've done, you know, nighttime down in the vault where it's been, you know, loose. You know, we've had Haskell DJing down there, and I've done business in that environment. That's where I produce my best business. Is that similar to you when you've got like the energy of the crowd, like a football stadium environment? You're enjoying it?
That's the biggest step up, isn't it? And, you know, on and off the field, busy places, and if you can hack it. But I'll be totally honest, day one of the Ashes, when we batted first, national anthem, Zach hit the first ball before, I've never witnessed a noise like it in my life. And I will openly admit that I was so far in the bush that morning, and it would have been an absolute miracle if I got more than 30 runs, because I was looking around going, oh my God, this is just ridiculous. And when I got that out of the way, I've walked out to bat since then and I've been absolutely fine. You know, nerves aren't as much, but that was the most nervous. I'll never be more nervous than that day one, first morning. It was ridiculous. I love it, especially in the field, because sometimes, you know, it can be quite a bit boring standing on a cricket field all day. But when you've got, you know, the crowd singing and stuff. And, you know, last week there were 10,000 people saying, stand up or put your shoe in the air if you hate Kerry, you know, stuff like that, which kind of, when you're fielding, it's quite funny just to listen to what they're saying. They were calling Todd Murphy a shit Harry Potter and stuff like that. And it's just some of the chants that come out in the crowd are quite good.
So I was going to just say, you know, obviously you're getting used to working like batting and fielding in that environment. Has Stokesy, Broadie, have they given you little nuggets? Because I guess it's pretty amazing to see those guys be at the top of the game so consistently and be under that much pressure and in that environment.
It's actually one of those things that you've either got it or you don't. You know, if you can handle that pressure, you know, some people probably can't, some people can. But I asked Stokesy day one, because as I said, I was so in the bush, and I said to him, like, do you still get nervous when you go out to bat? Like, he's done it numerous times on the biggest stage, and to be fair, he was like, you know, I think if you're not nervous, then you probably don't want to be there, or you don't care. So it was quite nice for me just to hear that Stokesy still gets, you know, a little bit nervous in those situations. But yeah, I mean, I think once you've done it once, and Ruth and Stokes said after that day one, it won't get bigger than that, you know, in your career. You know.
It's interesting you say that, because it's very similar when you go to Clapham Common in the mornings and it's rush hour and every carriage is packed. You know, first time you encounter that, you are a little bit nervous. You're a bit like hesitant. But now, and you know, you don't want to get on and be rude to people. But the first time I did it, I was a little bit nervous and I just got it. I said, guys, can you move down, please? Can you move down? They didn't. I said, okay, guys, I'm getting on. And I had two briefcases. I had my bag for the gym. I managed to get on. And that was a great experience. Yeah, I was a little bit nervous, and I'm always a little bit nervous when that happens. But now when I get on, it just feels natural. And it's, you know, those are the kind of guys, you know, you see other guys get off the tube because they can't hack it. I'm not. I'll stay on there to the bitter end. So it's good to hear.
So you get the tube, do you? I thought you'd be like an Uber XL kind of guy or something like that.
Interestingly, Ducky, I enjoy the Northern Line. I like being with the people. I like mixing it up with the chat. I mean, I did have to get off the other day because two guys got on with a hockey stick. And I just like, I know it's silly, but I just think, oh my God, I don't want to be catching bad chat right now in my life. But no, I enjoy the Northern Line. I mean, the tip is that I normally ride for the first carriage of the Northern Line because that feels like you're in first class. But yeah, no, I don't mind. The Northern Line is like the blood, the vein going into the heart of the city. You know, that's, you can just smell money on there. It's a lovely experience. I highly recommend it. You know, when you're playing at the Oval, get the Northern Line in there. Yeah, 100%. You'll enjoy it. Probably make a bit of success or rub off on you.
Ducky,
back to the serious industry.
Well, we've got a lot of questions to get through. Ducky, you say it's been pretty quiet out on the pitch, but I'm guessing with the eyes of the world on the series, there's been quite a few DMs. I know you've got a wonderful girlfriend, but a couple of female admirers popping in, maybe a couple of Australian men abusing you. Have you got any weird and wonderful DMs over the period so far?
No, more just abuse. I think the biggest thing for me is everyone's realised how small I am, which you'll have seen, I'm sure. And yeah, everyone just kind of nailing me because of how short I am. And, you know, I mean, I can't do anything about that really, can I? And it doesn't help I open with Zach, but every morning of day one of each test, we do the national anthem, obviously. And I purposely put myself in between Broad and Crawley, or Broad and Robinson. And people haven't quite caught on that I'm doing that as a joke. And everyone kind of saying, oh, you need to move place. And I'm like, no, I'm doing that because I can laugh at myself. And because there was a funny video on the first one where the cameraman's going across and he basically just got my forehead near it because he forgot to come down for me. I think you realize how many people watch it. You know, people come out of the woodwork from school and messaging you and maybe asking for tickets here, there and everywhere. But yeah, it's mainly, you know, the odd nice message here in the game. You know, Lords obviously after doing well, but yeah, mainly abuse from people, and it's quite funny to read them.
And it's important, really, to have the same message consistently for the people who abuse you, but also those people who come out of the woodworks who haven't been in contact with you, you know, over the years. Even when, you know, you suffered setbacks, they decided not to reach out to you. And I think it's really important that the same message resonates with them, who are probably listening to this podcast, who may say they know you, have had a drink with you, and now they're messaging you for tickets. It's just a simple fuck off. And you know, that's a lovely thing to use, not just for the abusers, for those little cocksuckers who come out the woodwork for tickets. So just make sure, can we get a sound effect to send to Duckett? That just a fuck off.
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Duckers, obviously we mentioned that you're beating Tresco and Strauss's record there. And mentioning Triskothic, obviously he's an assistant coach, alongside fielding coach and other assistant coach Paul Collingwood, a great player on the pitch. What's he like off the pitch? Because Swanee came on and said, great value off the pitch, Collingwood. Apparently he was out clubbing with Stokes a couple of days before the first test and an AFL player. Weird you didn't get the call up for that, firstly, that he's picking the fielding coach over his you know, players and his colleagues. But what is he like? Because Swanee said he canes it more than anyone and he's a bit naughty. Good fun?
Yeah, I mean, I've not been out with Cole loads, but, you know, now obviously, he's single now, so he can be out and about all the time. You know, the coaching staff, you know, they've got a great group of them. They normally meet down in the bar most nights. But, I mean, I don't really see it because I'm playing and it's quite hectic and we get back at like 8 o'clock. So for me, it's kind of get back, Deliveroo, nestle into bed. So, yeah, I've only heard really kind of what you guys probably know. So, yeah, I mean, he is a good lad. I know that he's a busy man and he likes a few beers off the pitch. But, yeah, they've got a good group of them doing it.
Yeah. He's one of the guys that I love to have a night out. If I was sort of picking three people who play cricket, you know, dead or alive, Collingwood, Panesar, and Swan.
That'd be a loose one, yeah.
Yeah. Monty still messages me. He's the most consistent guy we've had.
Well, he's been out on Ibiza with
always
Mr.
wants Lineker. To always wants to go to the Lead with me.
Have you been?
Well, I keep saying to him, you can just go, mate. You don't need me to get in there. But he's like, no, you come. You come with me. And I was like, okay, there's only so many excuses. I'm going to have to succumb to it. But I just worry he's going to get the baked beans out again and start showing me how to do like guns. But anyway.
Well, Ben, talking about having a couple of drinks there after cricket, now you are back in the team. You're saying you're still one of the fresh faces, but you're not really. You're ingrained. Everyone's loving you. Do you ever have a bit of banter now with Jimmy? Because when we last spoke to you a couple of years ago, you obviously didn't know Jimmy as well. Now you love each other. Do you ever bring up the old beer/vodka lemonade? Apparently you were more pissed off that people said it was a beer on his head than a vodka lemonade you threw. Do you ever bring that up?
Yeah, we spoke about it when I first came back into the team after a few beers and just kind of got it out of the way and kind of because he basically didn't even realize kind of what happened that night and stuff. So I basically told him my like what happened that night because I was less drunk and kind of what I had to go through the week after. And to be fair, we had a golf trip to Loch Lomond, Scotland, and I told him, and he's to be fair to him, he was like, I feel so guilty now still. And yeah, it's just one of those things. It's so far down the line. So, you know, it's quite nice now that we're actually playing together and to be fair, people aren't bringing it up all the time.
Freddie.
I had one interview maybe before the Birmingham test and yeah, some blokes, the guy was like, lovely interviewer to be fair, and he just caught me off guard and threw that comment out there about throwing a beer on his head. And I kind of was like, what are you giving it? Like it was that many years ago. And I did say to him then, I was like, you know, it wasn't a pint, it was a vodka lemonade. So that shows how much the media get things wrong and, you know, make things up just to get a headline out there. So yeah, it's all gone now. Me and Jimmy get on really well. It's always me and him against each other in beer pong. You know, he'll have a couple of the bowlers on his team and I'll choose a couple of the batters.
Well, Ducky, what's your golfing handicap at the moment?
12 to 14, kind of around. Okay. I've not got any better. Yeah. I was playing a lot and I've not. What about you?
I'm plus two. But I mean, look, when you get down to single figures, just let me know and I'll take you for a golf day. But not with that kind of stats. It wouldn't be a quick round. I like a quick, sharp round. So you get down to your 8-9, you know, and then I'll take you to Royal St George's or George's Hill or Wentworth, you know, a high net worth place. But it's disappointing here because you're so good at cricket, but sound terrible at golf.
I can't hit a ball that's still on a tee. It's weird.
I know. You're going to find golf very hard.
Talking about that trip though, and talking about golf, obviously our preparation was slated by some. Not myself, I thought it was a brilliant idea. We've seen what happens with the Saracens guys when they have those midweek trips to the Alps and stuff just before big semi-final, final games. They always go on and win. But you guys obviously went for a couple of days of whiskies and a bit of golf. How good was that piss up? I mean, just tell us what happened because it's been quite secretive. Was it just golf and whiskey? Because it sounded great.
No, it was incredible. To be at, you know, that golf course, staying there as a whole team. Yeah, it was a big, big couple of days. I mean, it was like drinking on the course, drinking after wake up, you know, another round, drinking throughout the day. So, yeah, it's funny because I rock up to it and then it does feel like you're just getting pissed for 2 days. And then Baz said, McCullum, a week later, he was like, we're doing these things to get you guys together and stuff. There's more behind, you know, there's more to the thinking behind it than just, oh, the England lads are off on a piss up. You know, he's doing that to create the environment, get that banter flowing before the series, kind of get everyone talking, kind of get some nerves out of the way. And to be honest, every team I've ever played in, the best memories you have and the best friendships that you form are on the piss, not like fielding for 120 overs. It's when you have a beer later and you start speaking a bit more honestly with each other and you get to know each other a lot better. So, yeah, it was an incredible weekend and, yeah, just what we needed before the big series.
Yeah, I got to say, a lot now of the rugby teams do that continually because people just open up and they become more honest. And then with that, you sort of create a better bond, don't you? I mean, that's why I take the whole team out for Thirsty Thursday in the office. And, you know, a lot of people come to me and they're very vocal. Yes. And then I remind them about it on Friday. Obviously, I've had to sack a few of them because I don't believe in it. But yeah, no, it creates good unity. And that's the most important thing.
Talking about unity, obviously, yeah. We guys are hoping that you're going to go ahead and win the final two tests and bring back the Ashes for the first time since 2015. Are we going to do it, Ben? Are we going to win 3-2?
I'd actually say we're slight favourites after winning the last one, just because, I mean, without weather, there's not going to be a draw. I know that for a fact. There's going to be two results in the next two games. I mean, I reckon even Australian fans would love to go to the Oval 2-2. It would just be, you know, I think it would potentially top 2005. You know, if we went to the Oval 2-2, and won it, it would just be incredible. It would kind of sum up the last 12 months for English cricket, you know, going down 2-0 in an Ashes series and turning it around and winning 3-2. We're confident. Nothing changes for us. Like I said, I feel like teams in the past, 2-0 down in the Ashes, there's no chance coming back. Whereas, you know, we continue to do what we do. We could easily be 3-0 up in this series as well. You know, they've been so tight, the games. Obviously got Mark Wood raring now and bowling absolute thunderbolts, which was the point of difference last week. I mean, anything can happen, but we go and win next week. I feel like the series is ours.
Most important thing is I believe. And, you know, I'll be doing another motivational CD-ROM ahead of the next test, Old Trafford. Unfortunately, that doesn't land anywhere in London. I'm only going to the Oval because that's sort of on the Northern Sure. Line. But that's a test we'll certainly win because it's so close to Clapham.
And, if you believe,
I'll bring the crowds. If I believe,
if
that's
you believe, we're going to win.
Yeah.
Does he have chat or does he have no chat? Does he have chat or does he have no chat? Does he have chat or does he have no chat? Can I ask those questions now?
Usman Khawaja.
Chat.
David Warner.
No chat.
Manus Labuschagne,
No chat.
Steve Smith.
Legend, but no chat.
Travis Head.
Yeah, chat. He's a good lad.
Cameron Green.
I haven't had one conversation with him, so I have to say
he
no.
He seems
chat.
Pretty boring. Nathan Lyon.
Oh, chat, but it's pretty horrendous chat.
Mitch Stark.
No chat.
Pat Cummins.
Lovely guy, but I wouldn't say he's got chat.
And finally, Josh Hazlewood.
No chat.
Ben Duckett, you absolute legend. We can't wait to see the Falcon on display. Thank you so much. England are going to win 3-2. You're a legend.
Love and champagne, my friends. Love and champagne.
Cheers, fellas.
Well, Archie Curzon, maybe love is doing weird things because you've managed to get the most in-demand person in the world.
Yeah.
Everyone's eyes are on the Ashes series and you managed to get BD on a podcast about BD. I mean...
I don't know, Clodus.
You're in good form.
Yeah, I don't know. Since love has come into my life, I feel like I'm a new guy. And, you know, obviously, it's wonderful to see Ben Duckett flourishing. You know, a guy who... on the surface, shouldn't be doing that well. He's tiny and pretty average looking, but look at him. He's smashing in the sporting world and has got a phenomenal girlfriend. And I'm just happy for him. And that's what love can do.
You are weirdly obsessed with his girlfriend.
Oh, well, she's a smoking hot chica, Clodus. Who isn't? But unfortunately, you know, that game is over for me. I'm not looking at other men's wives and girlfriends anymore. I'm a taken man.
But you haven't met yet.
Yeah, that doesn't really matter, Clodus. One really? Thing you've got to learn is love moves in mysterious ways and love makes you do crazy things. And yeah, am I saying I'm retiring from putting my chassis about Clapham? I pretty much am, yeah.
Oh my God.
Because
that's a big announcement.
You don't know what it feels like when you see the love of your life on Instagram and you know that you're going to be together forever. When you have that moment, come back to me and tell me it doesn't count if you've not met them. And we've liked each other's Instagram photos and we haven't even met. I mean, I don't know. I feel like breaking out a song, but I won't. I just want to take my clothes off and have a good time with you. Not what? You. I'm talking to the girl I'm meeting.
Does she
tomorrow.
Listen? None of this. She listens.
Yeah, yeah. She listens now because I sent her my CV for work and also my media CV and all the stuff I've done. So she's been checking me out.
Okay.
And if you're listening, you know who you are. I don't want to say her name because fame isn't for everyone, Clodus. But I know she's listening, and I just want to say, I just want to take my
right, well, as Archie Curzon sings this out, ladies and gentlemen, and gets ready for his date tomorrow,
you.
Thank you so much
I'm
for listening. And we will see you all
Breda.
Next week to hear about his date
oh,
update.
Yes, I am.
And we've got another incredible guest lined up. Until
looks good.